Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts here on Newstalk 1400 DWS on this 21st day of May. It is Monday. It's overcast. It's been wet this morning. So kind of a soggy start to the new week here as we head up towards Memorial Day weekend. Coming up this next weekend, a week from today, will be Memorial Day itself. Glad you're with us. I'm Brian Barnhart. As you heard, the phone number is 356-9397. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. And you can text us throughout the show at 217-351-5357. Well, as it is leading up to Memorial Day weekend this week, I wanted to, along the way this week, not necessarily every day, but two or three days this week, just kind of spotlight some of the people who have served our country in various wars and battles. And today we have a real treat. Sam Weldon is going to join us. He was in the Marines. He is one of the few of his company, which landed with 200 Marines. 34 walked out in the Battle of Iwo Jima over 70 years ago. And Sam Weldon is with us. And Ray Elliott will join us as well, and we'll just kind of visit with him for a little bit here at the top of the show, get his memories of Iwo Jima and his experiences in battle. And then we will move on to an open line. We'll talk about all the national and local issues of the day. Of course, you had the royal wedding over the weekend, among many things that happened. Royal wedding, of course, you had the shootings down in Texas, at Santa Fe, Texas, just a horrible tragedy there. It was ongoing. The volcano in Hawaii continues to erupt. The Trump tweet machine erupting quite a bit here the last 24 hours in regards to a possible probe into the Justice Department that he wants as to whether the Obama administration, people in that administration, was spying on his campaign. So that starts to heat up a little bit. We can talk about any or all of that during our open line portion today. And then towards the end of the show, we'll also tell you a little bit, if you're looking, as your kids are about to get out of school, if you're looking for some activities for them, we've got some ideas from Parkland College near the very end of the show today. So a full show. We'll start it off as we honor our veterans, as we head for Memorial Day with Sam Weldon from World War II, Battle of Iwo Jima. We'll do that off the top, take your open line phone calls, and then talk about camps a little bit if you're looking for some information for this summer. Hey, you've heard us talking about Woods Basement Systems for years. Now, since 1986, the Woods family has helped over 55,000 homeowners. If you're dealing with basement or crawl space cracks, they're a problem. The foundation walls of your home, what's lurking in those dirt crawl spaces? Well, mold, pests of all types and smells, especially in the springtime when we've had to turn on the air conditioner here lately. So a couple of things happen. One, those cracks get worse if you ignore them. And two, they keep stealing value from your home until the cause is fixed. Those two things are guaranteed. They do not go away. So remember, Woods Estimates do not cost you anything. Just get an estimate. Give them a call at 888-935-4333 or go to woodsbasementsystems.com. We'll come back with our guest here, Sam Weldon, as we honor those who have served in our various conflicts over the years. Sam Weldon from World War II is next, and then your open line phone calls. If you'd like to wish Sam well and can thank him for his service, you're certainly welcome to do that here in the next few minutes as well. 356-9397, 217-351-5357 for the text line, Castle Heating and Cooling, and the email address, talk at WDWS.com. We'll get it all started on a Monday next after this. Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. Glad you're with us here on this Monday morning as we start up another week. And right now we're at 64 degrees. Had some light rain all morning and some patchy fog early today. We'll keep an eye on that as we work our way through this Monday. I want to remind you that 11:59 tonight, the polls will close in our People's Choice voting. You still have time to vote for your favorites in 150 categories. go to WDWS.com and check that out as we close out the People's Choice voting. We'll have more on that later this summer, but your chance to vote is winding down today. Brian Barnhart, glad to be with you today on Penny for Your Thoughts. Busy week ahead as we work our way through the week and up to Memorial Day weekend. And I wanted to spotlight some of the folks who have served our nation over the years. And we have some local heroes, of course, that are with us. And one of those is here today. He's from the Marines. Sam Weldon served in one World War II battle, happened to be one of the deadliest. Battle of Iwo Jima 70-plus years ago now. Cost over 6,800 American lives and three times as many Japanese lives. 31 days was that battle. And Sam Weldon is here with us today. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Byron. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Can you believe it's over 70 years ago?
I can close my eyes. It seems like yesterday.
Does it?
Yeah.
I bet some of the sounds and things you experienced probably...
Yes.
What are some of those things? When you think about Iwo Jima all those years ago.
Well, I remember we left Maui. That was our training camp. And we took a troop ship over to Oahu, and we picked up a fleet of LSTs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the LSTs 51 days getting to Iwo Jima. And it was packed like sardines. And when we went through the Central Pacific, it was the hottest I think I've ever been in my life. Just worse than the regular Pacific. Yes.
Oh.
So when we get close to Iwo, I can see, we're miles away from it. I can see the flashes of the battleships. And believe me, how can people live on an island like that? Well, we didn't know that they had a bunch of caves and all that, but we found out real quick.
Well, we'll get into some of that with all the tunnels and all the defense. Ray Elliott is here, of course. And Ray, tell us what you do. I know you've got connections here with a lot of work you do with veterans. And
well, I'm the secretary of the 5th Marine Division Association,
mm-hmm.
and I edit the Spearhead News for the 5th Marine Division and go to all the reunions. In fact, we're having the reunion here in October the 16th to 21st this fall. But I basically work as the editor of the publication and secretary of the association.
Well, let me ask Sam, because let's go back to a little further back. You were from Champaign High School, right?
That's right, yes.
You were involved in sports there, right?
Yeah, I was involved in sports. And then when I got out of high school, I went to the university, and then, of course, the war was on, and my mind was on the war, not on my university.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were not just involved in athletics at Champaign Central. You were a Hall of Famer there, a two-year letterman, led the Maroons in scoring as a senior, won three letters in track. So you were more than involved. You were pretty good at it.
Well, I was very fortunate. I wasn't good in basketball, so I became a wrestler. And when I was a senior, I won the state high school title at 135 pounds. And 2 years later, I had a brother who won the title at 155 pounds. So we're a wrestling family.
And you wanted to, did you want to get in? Your dad didn't want you to get in the military, right?
No, he kept me out as long as he could. I wanted to enlist, but he probably saved my life because the ones who enlisted then went to Tarawa. Mm-hmm. And that was a very bad battle also.
Now, as far as Iwo Jima, you talked about getting over there. It's extremely hot. The Japanese had dug themselves in very effectively, and the tunnels, I know there was some bombardment going in. The Air Force tried to knock out what they thought, and at the time they thought it might be easy, right?
You're correct. But they had, unbeknownst to us and to the Marine Corps, that they had brought in some Korean laborers, and they made a bunch of connecting caves and tunnels, intercollecting. They even had electricity on the caves and the tunnels. But we didn't know that at the time, but we found out real fast.
I was going to say, and I also read where these tunnels were so interconnected that even if you blew some up, the Japanese could come right back in.
That's correct, yes. They were interconnected, and we found this after the battle was over. Well,
Well, and the island, I guess, it's a volcanic island, right? So when you landed, there's a lot of volcanic ash. Was that a big problem?
Yeah, it was. They used to call it black sands at Iwo Jima. Mm-hmm. It wasn't sand. It was volcanic ash. Mm-hmm. And if you got it in your boots or your field shoes, it'd get between your toes. And a lot of guys, I wore leggings. I was real lucky. Because once you go into battle, you can take off any clothes you want. If you don't like your dungaree jacket, nobody's going to say anything to you.
Right. 356-9397 is our number. Sam Weldon is our guest here for a few minutes. Again, we just wanted to spotlight some of our veterans who have served as we lead up to World War Memorial Day. And, of course, Sam was in World War II. I know going in, they thought initially with the bombing ahead of time, that it was going to be easy. I mean, if someone was quoted, it's going to be easy. Obviously, it was not. When you landed, were you aware yourself of what had happened before, or were you just jumping in?
No, they told us right before we went, now this is going to take 3 to 5 days, and you can come back in and get some good food and have a couple of days rest and get clean uniforms, and we'll go to Okinawa. That was a big laugh. Because they depleted, all the extra men that was in reserve on the battle itself.
So give us, for those of us who have never experienced anything like that, and we've got my generation in particular, young enough that I was too young to go to Vietnam. I was a little kid when Vietnam was happening, so I haven't experienced anything like this, and too old for Iraq. But the sounds, the smells. Is there a certain smell to war?
Yes. For years, when I would smell a dead animal. It was like Iwo Jima. You see, it was so bad. The Marines, we take care of our dead. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it took 4 or 5 days for us to pick up our wounded or our dead. And we'd go back to get ammunition off the beach. And lo and behold, you look down there and you see a friend laying there. One time I took a replacement with me, and I said, just a minute, buddy. I said, I had three friends, and they had looked like they were all falling together. And I looked at them, and they had been there for about 3 or 4 days. They didn't look very good. But I said, hey, guys, we'll get you picked up just as soon as we can. But the battle's in now, doubt, and we haven't got time now. So I can still remember that.
Yeah. Sam Weldon is with us here this morning. We're talking about his experiences at Iwo Jima. We're at 9:21. When you first landed or early on, you were what, blown in the air? You suffered some hearing loss, right?
Yes, the first time my best friend and I just got out of this amphibious tank, exited on the rear, and we didn't take 4 or 5 steps, and all of a sudden there was a big boom, and I found myself going flying in the air. And landed on my behind, and I looked over, and I knew that my friend was gone. So he was carrying we were in the 60-millimeter mortars in the rifle company. So real fast, I rolled him over, and I grabbed the mortar, and one of my ammunition carriers were there, and I said, his name was Earl. He was 37 years old and had but 3 children. So I said, Earl, let's go. And so we ran about 20 or 30 yards, and all of a sudden there was a giant shell hole. I pointed, jump down in there. And we jumped down in that hole, and we were pinned in that hole maybe till noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And as we lay out, I looked up, I could see our tanks came in, and the Japanese knocked out every tank. The tanks got so that they couldn't maneuver. There was the great big holes, and once they stopped, the Japanese, and one kid come to me, and he says, I want you to help me. I want you to help me. My lieutenant is wounded in the tank. I said, son, go back to the beach and get a corpsman. We're not supposed to help. That was the thing. You're not to pick up anybody. Mm. Of course, somebody's got a minor wound. You're going to help them, but sure. Nothing like that.
Well, and as you went on, this went on for 30 days. I assume you didn't get much sleep.
No. Hey, I think the first, we went in at, we got up at 2:30 in the morning. and had breakfast. And I think we went in at 9:30, and I think at 12 o'clock midnight we had roll call. Now we had approximately 240 guys, and 99 guys answered the roll call at midnight. And, well, we're just going to dig in. And unfortunately, I tried to dig in, and I had my little shovel, and I dig. I hit something that was metal. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't dig, and I couldn't go anyplace. So I just slept on the metal and on the sand. And when I woke up the next morning, hey, I was completely wet from the volcanic ash, the moisture in it.
Sam Weldon is with us here for a few minutes. We're just highlighting those who have served as we lead up to Memorial Day. He served at Iwo Jima. Only 34, it says, an article I read, walked out of your company.
Which 34 out of 248, yes. Yeah. And so we proceeded. We got replacements, and I saw men without legs, without arms, and I was fortunate. My father had a business, and we slaughtered turkeys and geese and chickens, and so when I saw entrails or something like that, I was lucky. It didn't bother me because I had handled them in the animal form.
Yeah. Well, they have the famous photo. Of course, they've recreated it in D.C. with the flag raising. Were you aware of any of that, or was that something you found out about later?
Well, I wasn't involved in it. I was about 100 yards away, and all of a sudden, we're in a firefight, and I get a radio. Somebody says, "Hey, Weldon, you got a radio call." I said, "I am." He says, "You'll have to crawl over here." So I crawled about 30 yards, and I went and got the radio. I said, "Hello," and the boy said, "Hey, Sammy, how you doing?" I said, "Who is this?" It was my friend, Paul Holbeck from Champaign, Illinois, who was a radio operator with the artillery. He says, "I just called to see if you're getting along." He says, "Our spotter up there probably said everybody was killed. I said, "Hey, don't do me any favors, but I want you to do me a favor, Paul. You'll have time to write your mother, and I won't. Write and tell your mother to call my mom and tell her that you talked to me." So his mother did that. They lived on. They had a house over on the campus by the old Steak and Shake, and they had rooms they rented out to male students. They're very nice people. His brother is a prominent builder in Champaign.
And from what I understand, because of what happened at Iwo Jima with the casualties and everything, it was somewhat of a deterrent, or at least made the military think about, okay, if we invade the Japanese home islands, this could be a problem, right?
Is that? Yes. Well, we after Okinawa, then they decided we were trained to assault the main islands. I don't know which island we were going to. And matter of fact, on the day that the war ended, we were 15 miles out in the field. And, somebody hollered, "War's over." And I looked one way, and I saw some trucks come one side, and I saw some trucks coming in. I said, "Boy, listen, we'll just wait." And the lieutenant says, "Well, we're not going to wait. We'll march back in." So we just went about 20 miles that day. Boy, was I glad it was over.
And you wound up in Guam as a military policeman.
That's right. That was the best job I ever had.
And then you wound up coming back, and I heard you had a pizza place too, right?
Originally, I come back, I went to school, but once again, hey, my mind wasn't on anything. I was out to have a good time. The world owes me a living, and it didn't.
Well, and I know you and Ray went on a trip. You went back to Iwo Jima, three or four years ago? What was that like to go back?
Well, it was sort of shocking. First place, the United States gave the island back to the Japanese. And there was a bunch of Marines on our trip, and that made them mad. And then they exhumed all the graves had been removed from the island and transferred someplace where I didn't even know. And that made everybody sort of angry. But They gave it to the Japanese. They got a great big air hangar there, and they got an airstrip. And actually, the Japanese are not really a friendly people. I don't know because of the war or what, but they're completely different than the Chinese.
Hmm. So now you're just retired and
I've been retired. I'm 92 now. I've been retired at 62, mm-hmm. and I got bored when I was retired, and I saw a friend of mine. I says, "Hey, can I get a part time job, something nice and easy?" Yeah. So Jim Miller was the mowing foreman in the Champaign Park District. So I worked a couple of years as a mower, and Jim's retired now, and he lives in Champaign. Mm. But the Park District is an excellent source of things for people. Excellent bunch of people.
Well, Sam, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your service, most of all.
All right.
And Ray, thank you for bringing him in and making him available. And good luck with your reunion. When is that again?
That's October the 16th to 21st. We're going to be at the Hyatt Place up here, and we're going to have the Arnold Shapiro, the documentary Return to Iwo Jima. He's an Oscar-winning document maker, and he's going to be here to introduce the film. And it's free and open to the public. No charge to see that film. It's about 58 minutes there, and then we're going to have a bunch of Iwo Jima veterans on there on the panel.
All right. We'll remind everybody of that when we get closer to it. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Okay,
we appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news headlines. Michael Kaiser next on Penny for Your Thoughts, your open line calls after that.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. I want to remind you that Corey Swanson is a hands-on owner of Swanson Roofing, the Roofing Dog. One of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts is truly a family-owned business, 100% owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife, Melissa. Corey's a graduate from Rantoul High School in the University of Illinois, so he's from right around here. And the Roofing Dog crew is comprised of roofing professionals certified in roof installation, no subcontracting of the work. The crew or company employees receive full benefits and 401k. So they are incentivized to do a great job, not only for Corey and Melissa, but for you as well, the customer. And they guarantee the workmanship for the lifetime of the roof. This is from Swanson Roofing, the Roofing Dog. Responsibility and ownership of every past customer, and that's the cornerstone of their business. And this little note, they'll help you with small repairs to help save your roof, even if Swanson Roofing did not do your roof. They're happy to come out and fix any problem. So give them a call. Get a free estimate, 217-355-ROOF, 217-355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. 356-9397, you can call us, you can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and you can email us, talk at wdws.com. Got a note from Joy. She says, "Hey, I enjoyed your conversation with Sam, of course, the veteran that we just had on." She goes, "However, I did want to mention that many people do get confused about the meaning of Memorial Day versus Veterans Day. Memorial Day is about honoring those who died serving our country. Veterans Day is about honoring all those who served. I just want to make sure that while we're talking to these wonderful people this week, that we educate the community about the true meaning of Memorial Day and those of us who have lost our loved ones while they serve. Thank you again for all you do." That note from Joy. Yes, you're absolutely right, Joy. There is a difference there between the two, obviously, but we appreciate that note. And we also will, probably we get close to Veterans Day, we'll do some of this again leading up to Veterans Day later on this year. But, boy, you think about his company, 240, I think he said, and only 34 walked out alive from that 31-day battle. So we certainly remember those who have perished and passed away serving our country, and that is the purpose of Memorial Day coming up here this weekend. All right, 356-9397. The Dow is up 350 points today. Back over 25,000. You got your hat on today, Ed? Dow 25,000 hat? As the U.S. trade war is placed on hold, so to speak. 356-9397. A couple of other notes from the weekend. A historic royal wedding in more ways than one. In a fairy tale wedding at England's Windsor Castle on Saturday, Prince Harry married American actress Meghan Markle. Don't know if you saw the wedding, what you thought of it. We had our expert on Friday. I'm sure she had fun at her watch party, and several people did get up early, or at least set the DVR early and watched it later. Don't know what you thought about all the various things related to that, but certainly was interesting. I thought it was very well done. There is something, weddings are always great anyway, but just something, another notch. It's like at a even bigger level when it involves an event like that. So it is pretty amazing. Texas, they're in mourning today, 10 dead in a school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. The Hawaiian volcano posing a new threat. Acid from the lava called, is it Laze? Or Lays, pouring into the ocean. Also, muddy Preakness, foggy and muddy. And Justify wins the Preakness. He's now heading to Belmont for the Triple Crown. Justify held on to win. Chance to become horse racing's 13th Triple Crown winner. And Starbucks says anyone can use the bathroom. That's a headline today. You don't have to be a Starbucks customer to use the restroom. They informed employees of the official policy in a letter sent to them on Saturday, spelling out any person who enters our spaces, including patios, cafes, and restrooms, regardless of whether they make a purchase, is considered a customer. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines today. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And let's see here. Let's go to the phones. And Lawrence, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Well, it's shaping up okay so far. I did watch portions of the royal wedding, as it's called, and I was most taken with the architecture of St. George's Chapel, which, of course, is bigger than some churches. I'm calling to in the hopes that some architect or two is listening, and I would appreciate it if they'd call in and describe the internal architecture and the structure of it and how it's put together.
Boy, it is impressive, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. I'm always stunned by made for great television over the weekend.
Fabulous.
All the different camera angles and I don't know. I love watching the when they show emotions of different people, and when they were singing "God Save the Queen" at the end of the ceremony. That's pretty cool.
I don't know who was in charge of the camera work, the Brits or the Americans, but it was a good job this time.
Yes, it was. All right, we'll see if we got any architect experts out there.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate it. 356-9397. And let's go back to the phone. Zoe, good morning, Zoe.
Well, good morning. I'm glad y'all enjoyed the royal wedding. I didn't watch it. I've always loved the royal weddings, but I think this one was, for one thing, way too Hollywood-y for me. And also, I think the Queen could have prohibited that marriage, although, you know, I know Harry went through a terrible thing, and he's, you know, it's, I hope he's able to heal from being so brokenhearted. But this lady he married was married previously, and she left her husband brokenhearted. And I just can't enjoy that kind of celebration. And there are a lot of other things. A lot of the royals weren't even there. A lot of them were either not invited or didn't attend. I don't know.
So anyway, the main ones were all there. I mean, the Queen, Charles.
Yeah, but a lot of the ones that would have traditionally been there were not there.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot more, and I won't go into a lot of it. But it was I didn't care for what I learned about it. So thank you, Brian.
Well, very good. Thank you, Zoe.
Bye bye.
Great to hear from you. 356-9397. Back to the phones here at 945. Don, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I gave up on royal weddings in 1776.
long live the colonies, right?
Yeah. It's amazing that people still, you know, idolize that stuff like they do. It just amazes me after all they've done. What do you think is going to happen when they find out Obama actually planted somebody in Trump's campaign?
Oh, you mean the Obama Justice Department?
Yeah, they put a spy in his campaign. I mean, the Nuna memos is the reason that Trump's doing this, because they know that it happened. And they're going to let the American people know. But do you think anybody will actually, justice will be served? I mean, they know they rigged the campaign against Bernie Sanders. They know that. They know Debbie, whatever name, Osterman Schwartz or whatever her name is.
Wasserman Schultz.
She should have been in jail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she should have been in jail. They know she's guilty. The same with Hillary. These people just don't get justice for some reason. They're going to find out that they planted a spy in the Trump campaign. They're going to find that out. And I can't wait for what logical reason they come up with. I mean, they're already saying it's unconstitutional for Trump to ask people that work for him to answer to him. They can't understand that he's the president. He's the boss. Every one of these people work for Trump. He's the boss. He can ask them to do anything he wants, any question he wants. It is not unconstitutional. But
That's right. As the head of the executive branch, he's the he can fire anybody that works under him for any reason.
Even Mueller.
Yeah, well, right. And the issue is, though, the political price you pay for doing that.
No, actually, it's not. That's not the issue. That's not what they say. They don't say you're going to pay a political price for this. They say that it's unconstitutional and that he's breaking the law.
Well, I understand that.
And it's ridiculous. Right, but the original question, what do you think will happen to him?
Well, I don't know. As slow as this thing has been for the last year going this direction, if they open up another one going the other direction, it'll be another year from now, I would guess.
Well, I believe the reason it's been so slow, and like I said, it's been a year and a half, they still have no evidence. Trump will be quicker because they have evidence, and he's not going to wait around. I'm telling you, it's Trump's turn, and these people are going to go down. Their investigation right now, the Mueller investigation, I bet you right now they're regretting the heck out of it, because now it's pointing to them.
How
do you throw these people in jail? We know they rigged the primary. Yeah. We can prove that, and nobody's in jail. I don't get it.
Well, we're going to find out, because I think it may start here pretty quick. So, all right.
I think it'll be the same results.
All right. Well, thank you, Don.
Have a good one.
Yep. Got an email in, says, my grandfather, Frank Sam Weldon, was on your radio show this morning talking about his experiences at Iwo Jima. Is it possible for me to obtain a copy of the audio? Yes, it is. And, in fact, it'll be on podcast right after 11 o'clock shortly. So, yes, thank you from Eric. We appreciate that. We're at 9:48. We'll take a break. Your open line phone calls. What do you think of the royal wedding? It was over the weekend. Obviously had the big shooting incident down in Texas, very tragic, 10 dead in the school shooting in Santa Fe. Any architecture experts out there that can tell us about the church, beautiful church there where they were married on Saturday morning? You can help us out with that, because I'm always impressed by that. And Hawaii volcano. How about all that lava? Boy, that's causing a lot of damage, as you might expect. We'll come back with more Penny for Your Thoughts after this break. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS, had Sam Weldon on in the first half hour, served at Iwo Jima, fought at Iwo Jima, and appreciate him. What did he say? He was 92, I believe, is how old he was, and great to have him here with us. I want to remind you, I mentioned Memorial Day and Veterans Day and all of that, the Poppy Day out here at our radio center downtown now. In Champaign, downtown Champaign, 15 Main Street. We'll be working together with the American Legion Post for their Poppy Distribution Day drive-through. And that'll be on Thursday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And several of the American Legion posts are involved in that, all the way from Champaign, Rantoul, Savoy, Sydney, and Pisotum. So come on by, thank a veteran for their service. Pick up a poppy as a remembrance of those servicemen and women who lost their lives in battle and those veterans of the military who have passed away since their time, and make a donation if you would like. So Poppy Day, Poppy Donation Day, as we honor those who served and passed away as well, served our country, and Memorial Day coming up on Thursday. We'll remind you again if you forget all of that. We're at 356-9397 at 954, and you can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, at 351-5357. Let's go back to the phones to Sid. Good morning, Sid.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good. I just now tuned in, but I just heard you mention that Sam Weldon had called in.
Yeah, he was actually with us.
He was.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I'd have known that. I didn't start early enough. I would have liked to talk to him. Sam was hugely responsible for me getting into the pizza business in Villa Grove in 1971. I borrowed $3,000 from a local bank, opened a little pizza store, and that has now grown into a pizza company that does over $5 million a year.
Is that right? Because the name of his place was what? Was it Sam's Pizza?
It was Sam's. Yeah, they called him Papa Sam.
Papa Sam.
And my wife worked for him because he was only open for supper. He wasn't open at lunch. And somebody had to be there to pay the beer truck drivers for the beer. He couldn't leave it on a charge. It had to be paid for, so she was there to write the checks. She started making dough with a young man named Mike Tabling, and I learned how to make pizza dough, and we parlayed that into a pretty successful little pizza business.
Well, he said it's great that he had a hand in your success. That's terrific.
Yeah. Well, he sure did, and it's been highly successful.
Yeah. So what was the best thing you learned from him?
Well, I guess to make the dough.
Yeah.
We started out with a purchase dough, factory dough, and the biggest increase in sales we had early on was when we converted to making our own dough.
Hmm.
And, of course, my wife learned that from Sam.
Okay. Do you want to say the name of your company, or do you want to just be anonymous?
Well, my name of my company is Pizza Man, Inc.
Okay.
And we own and operate 5 Monaco pizza stores in Central Illinois.
Okay. Well, it's good stuff. You learned well.
It's been good to us.
Yes, that's for sure.
It's been a marvelous ride.
Hey, Sid, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm sorry you missed him. They'll have the interview on podcast. You can hear it after 11 o'clock. They'll put it up.
So if I knew how to do something on a computer, maybe I could, but I'm a computer dummy.
Well, that's okay. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Sid. Great to hear from you. 356-9397. I've got a text in from CJ. Says, without Sam and his generation, there wouldn't have been a royal wedding. Well, that generation did so much for us, didn't they? When you think about it. And these were young men. I mean, they were 17, 18-year-old kids, basically, 19. I think in Sam's case, he says he was one of the older ones at 20 that were serving and dying for their country. So we certainly honor them ahead this weekend, especially those who, as we memorialize those this weekend and honor all veterans later in the year. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines. Let's see here. The president, Don mentioned the president. President Trump is intensifying his pressure on the Justice Department by demanding an open investigation into whether the FBI infiltrated his presidential campaign. Trump made the demand on Sunday amid days of public venting about the special counsel's Russia investigation, which he has deemed a witch hunt. He says has yielded no evidence of collusion, between his campaign and Russia. Just hours later, Rudy Giuliani, one of his attorneys, said the special counsel has indicated the investigation into the president could be concluded by September if President Trump were to sit down for an interview in July. It's interesting reading. Ted Olson has a piece. Of course, he's been involved. I think he was Solicitor General at one time, but he's been involved in the Supreme Court all kinds of times for very, very big cases along the way, I think including Bush versus Gore back in 2000. But he has an article today. It's interesting read about how this will all play out, how it could play out, if there will be a subpoena, if there will not be a subpoena. And I know Don mentioned earlier, said they, you know, Trump can fire anybody that he wants, but what would be the, in my mind, what would be the political cost of doing that? But does he care about political costs? I don't know. 9:59 here on Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll have more open line for you after the news at 10. Towards the end of the next hour, I know the kids are, I think my daughter's last day at school this, and she's graduating, but her last day at school is tomorrow, but the kids will be out, and they'll be looking for things to do. We'll have some ideas on that towards the end of hour number two. But we'll have your open line conversations for the next 40, 45 minutes here during the news segments as well. All of that straight ahead on Penny for Your Thoughts. Thanks to Sam Walden for being with us in the first hour, and your phone calls and emails. Continue to take those on WDWS, Champaign-Urbana. It is 10 o'clock at the tone.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And welcome back. Hour number two of A Penny for Your Thoughts here as we continue on this Monday, the 21st day of May. A week from today is Memorial Day itself. We had Sam Walden on from Iwo Jima as he fought there over 70-plus years ago. So we appreciate his time. Ray Elliott for bringing him by. Thank you. And then we took your open line phone calls. We'll continue to do that here in this second hour. What's on your mind today? What's left over from the weekend that you noticed or things you want to talk about? If it's the royal wedding, certainly there's plenty to talk about there. If you want to talk about anything related to the Mueller investigation, the president firing back, says he wants an investigation into the FBI and their issues in regards to spying, so to speak, on his campaign for president. There's that. There's the shooting down in Texas, as the Texas high school community begins the long healing process after a 17-year-old gunman opened fire in a first-period art class on Friday morning, left 10 dead and 13 injured, the mourning and the funerals over the course of the weekend. And also saw this story. I don't know if you saw this, of the average price of gasoline now up to $3 a gallon. It has gone up. Have you noticed that at the pump? They say it's largely driven by higher crude oil costs and the phasing in of summer-grade gasoline, which always happens right before Memorial Day, which is used to prevent smog. They have the different branding of gasoline there. And I know the guys on Sports Talk on Saturday, Stephen Lauren, visited quite a bit with Steve Beckett. If you heard that, if you want to check that out, that show is on podcast as well at WDWS.com. But half of Americans are okay with the idea of legal sports betting, according to a new Fairleigh Dickinson poll that was conducted before the Supreme Court ruling last week. That cleared the way for states to legalize it by striking down a federal law that banned betting on football, basketball, baseball, and other sports in most states. The survey found that 50% of Americans favor legal sports betting, 37% is opposed, numbers that have remained consistent as the poll has asked the question in recent years. And I just saw, and I did not get to see this on Saturday, because I had several things going on Saturday. I did not see the Preakness, but I knew that Justify won, and I watched that, and that is an announcer's nightmare. That was muddy and foggy, and I have never done horse track announcing. That is one thing I've never done. And I can't imagine how he pulled that off. The track announcer, because right when they were coming down the stretch, the horses disappeared. You couldn't see him. And Justify wins it. It was pretty close all the way to the finish, nose to nose. So we got a shot at a Triple Crown winner again. American Pharoah just did it a handful of years ago, two or three years ago. So may have another one. We'll see in the Belmont. The Belmont's a tough one, though. Hey, if you get the chance to, just speaking of this, and I'm not all that, I mean, Dave Lone is our horse racing guru around here. He knows a lot of harness racing for years, and he knows what it's all about. So I'm not an expert. I defer to him on that. But Belmont is the toughest. It's the mile and a half. It's the one that can ruin a lot of Triple Crown dreams, that's for sure. But I do know that if you get a chance, watch the movie Secretariat. If you've not seen it, even if you're not into horse racing, you'll enjoy the story of Secretariat. Did a nice job with that movie. Let's go to Joyce. Hey, Joyce, good morning.
Hi, Brian. I have a couple of things on my mind that I have to get off of my mind and stop worrying about. But
okay.
I just want to say that I'm very disappointed in Diane Marlin as mayor. The first thing that she did was that she took the spring cleanup down to one time. She has raised the U-cycle tax. Now she wants to charge 50 cents to park in downtown Urbana to have more money for flowers and trees. The streets in our neighborhood out here in southeast Urbana are sad. They're a disgrace. And any neighbor that has anybody coming to do any work for them, like tune up their air conditioner or do painting or anything, and I'm out working in the yard, they say, "Lady, for the property taxes you people pay in Urbana, I cannot believe your streets. You should see it. Great big chunks of concrete laying on the side and in the middle of the street. They drive around in their pickup truck, throw a shovel of rock and tar in it, and go on. It gets in your tires, you get in your garage, and it's all over."
Wow.
And another thing, she's not doing anything to push Carl to help the taxpayers get their money back. And Laurel Pressing, she worked hard for the people of Urbana, and I really respect her for that. She put in a lot of time. And I won't vote for Diane Marlin again, and I just had to get this off my mind and see if maybe some other people that live in Urbana feel the same way I do.
Okay.
And thank you very much, Brian, and you have a nice day.
All right. Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. 356-9397, open line conversation here. The floor is yours. So if you'd like to talk with us here and talk with our listeners, fellow listeners out there, you can do that at 356-9397. You can text us if you'd like to go that route. Some people do that, 3515-357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. I see Gina Haspel just being sworn in right now as we speak as the new CIA director, just got approved by the Senate late last week. So that is happening as we speak this morning. All right, let's see here. I want to remind you to keep voting today up until 11:59. The polls close on our People's Choice voting. We've had thousands of people doing this. You still have time to vote for your favorites in 150 categories. Go to WDWS.com to vote until 11:59 tonight. Busey ranked as among the top employers in the state for the third straight year. That's a true testament to the unique culture of the organization. The Best Companies Group and Daily Herald Business Ledger named Busey 2018 Best Places to Work in Illinois. It recognizes the Survey and Awards Program, identifies, recognizes, and honors the best places of employment in the state. Busey among 21 companies recognized in that large employer category, 500 or more U.S. employees. Busey wants to thank his dedicated associates for making this acknowledgement possible and fulfilling the Busey promise to their customers and community members. From buying a home and saving for your child's education to planning for retirement and beyond, partner with Busey. Named 2018 Best Places to Work in Illinois. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. Back to the phones, and we say good morning to Pat.
Good morning, Brian. This is Pat calling.
Yes.
First of all, let me tell you, I know you've been told a lot of times how much we enjoy your show. I'm a local person here in the community, been listening back since Larry Stewart, so I think I know you know a thing or two about the Penny for Your Thoughts, and I just want to tell you you're doing an outstanding job, and wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you, Pat. I really appreciate that, and I'm like you. I remember listening to Larry Stewart. So
he was a good one.
Yes, he was.
He sure was. Now, let me tell you, Brian, now let me quickly tell you a couple things on my mind. I wasn't going to call, but that last lady from Urbana, who I thought was very elegant, how she was concerned about her community. I, myself, having lived in this community all my life, except going away for the service, I live in Savoy now, and I'm a little bit upset. My property taxes, and I know people, this is, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but my property taxes went up $200, and it's because of the new high school, and I'm all for the new high school. I've never complained about it, but I think it's going to be the Taj Mahal of champagne, and from the tracks to everything else. And I think people right now are just a little bit, they're not quite aware of, you know, I know they've got their bills a week or two ago, but there's so much apathy. I just wish some of these people on the county board were still there, like Scott Tarpley and some of them that kind of watchdog these things. I think the county board now just kind of gives, you know, when people look at their tax bill and see some of the places where their money goes, and this is my second thing. One of the things, Brian, and I'll be quick here, I'm very upset with the money that goes to the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. They've never made a dime of profit since 1970 when they came into existence. But if you look in the newspaper, Brian, whenever there's an event that goes on in the community, I don't care if it's Eberfest, 4th of July, this last weekend, Boneyard Festival, they're always in there being recognized for some sort of contribution. And I know it's mostly not cash. A lot of time it's in-kind contributions. But you understand an in-kind contribution means they have a bus come up, sometimes several, like in Eberfest. They're paying them drivers $25-$30 an hour to drive them buses all day long. The mass transit districts love the recognition that they get from the community, because it makes the community not be so critical of the fact that the ridership on the mass transit district just continues to go down. It's totally dependent upon University of Illinois students, and all we do as taxpayers is pay our city property taxes to help fund all these nice developments that the mass transit districts have. The latest technology, brand new buses every few years. They never make any money. If it wasn't for property taxes, city, state, federal, they would be broke if they had to try to make it on their own. Now, I know public transit's very important. Not going to complain about that. But I'm just wondering how I'm going to, you know, $200 in my taxes, and I know it's not the MTD's taxes do go up every year. It's nothing like the school district this year. I mean, my wife tells me, relax. I wish I could relax, Brian. I used to be a little upset when my property taxes would go up $25, and I'd always check and see where it was going to. When it went up $200 this year, I'm thinking, you know, they complain about people moving out of the state of Illinois because we're mostly the corrupt state in the country. People are going to start moving out of Champaign because they can't afford to live here. It's a wonderful community, Champaign, Urbana, Savoy. I love it. I mean, it deserves all the recognition it gets. And I won't go in. You know all the great things with the U of I, Cran, or so forth.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, Brian, just like you mentioned, the tax price is $3 a gallon. I was, a few years ago when it was $4 a gallon, you know, I was pretty unhappy about that. I don't know where it's going to go to. Obviously, it's supply and demand, and once school gets back in, it'll start going back down. But this thing about the mass transit district, I just want to put a bug in people's ear. Start looking in the paper after some event and see if they're not getting recognized for something. And I'm telling you, it's only because they want good publicity. And they're using taxpayers' dollars to do it. You don't ever see the Forest Preserve District being recognized for something good, or even the Unit 4 School District. They don't ever donate to anything. They know better than that. But old Carl Gannant over there at the MTD is following right in the footsteps of Bill Volk, who for 40 years threw taxpayers' monies around. The Board of Trustees over at the courthouse just let him go wild with taxpayer money. And now we're in the position we are. And, Ryan, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop. I didn't give you a chance to jump in there at all.
Okay.
Brian, it's a gloomy morning, and I guess I'm in a gloomy, a little gloomy of an attitude. And I wish it wasn't like this. My wife always tells me, hey, don't be that way. And I probably shouldn't. But when it comes to money, $200, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. So on your tax bill, what's the breakdown? What does the MTD get compared to others? I mean, is it significantly more?
No, it's not. It's really, you know, it goes up. I don't know. I'm wanting to say maybe 6 or 8% a year. And they're getting, I don't know, maybe $60-$70 out of my tax bill. We're the school district, of course, and I find it much harder to criticize the school district. Yeah. I put my kids through public school. The school district's getting about $500 or $600 of my money, And, you know, people don't, you know, we should never criticize the schools. But at the same time, I think the Champaign School Board, Brian, they would have kept that referendum going for 5 or 6 times until they got a yes vote. They were not going to settle with a no vote. I hope some of them people are listening. I'm just telling you, it would have went on every time it was a no vote. They had just put it back on the ballot 6 months later, 8 months later. They'd have stayed with it until it was a yes vote. It didn't matter. There was going to be a new high school, new tracks, houses tore down. Let's donate $50,000 to move the Burnham House. Hey, we're dealing with taxpayer money. If this was my own money, if it was their own money, they wouldn't be donating $50,000 to move the Burnham House. Let the guy move it himself.
Yeah.
But boy, when it comes to spending taxpayers' money, the Champaign School Board and Carl Gannant over at the MTD, it's just like it was Christmas every day, Brian, and I'm getting tired of it.
Well, isn't the guy that's got the house, he paid like $1 for it or something, didn't he? And then isn't he paying for the expense, though, of moving it?
Brian, he's paying for some of it, but the school district is paying. They gave him $50,000 that they were going to use to tear the house down. And when the guy bought the house, you're right, $1 or it was $10 or something, you're right. But when he decided to buy it and have it moved, and I think it has to be moved by the end of June. This is going to be an event for people to watch. I don't know. That's a monster of a house.
It is.
But the school board, the $50,000 they were going to use to tear the house down, they decided to donate to the guy to help in his finances to move the house. I mean, you kidding me? I mean, that's taxpayers' dollars. Put that up to a vote with the, let's see how many taxpayers want to give this guy $50,000 to move his dollar house. I don't want to do it. You know, but the school board doesn't think twice. They go, hey, we got $50,000, we're not going to tear the house down. Let's just give it to the guy. You know, the taxpayers, we got them by the neck. It don't matter. And Brian, I'm telling you, people in this community are going to get fed up with it. They're going to start realizing. I just like there was a guy, Scott Tarpley. He moved to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. He's back in town now. I wish he would have got back on the county board. He watched him like a hawk.
Yep.
And when they were spending money like this, the Champaign County Board ought to be like our representatives in Washington. That just, you know, spend money. Deficit spending doesn't matter.
Yep.
Build new libraries, you know. I don't want to criticize libraries, but build. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Spend money foolishly. We don't have the money.
Yep.
Anyway, Brian, I've said enough. I appreciate it. Love you, Brian. So keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Brian. Yep. I talked way too long.
That's
okay.
Good. Okay, good to hear from you. All right, let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, that last fellow didn't like much of anything. Anyway, well, I'd like to say...
I think his week will get better. Yeah, I think his week will get better. But go ahead.
I hope so. It is Monday, I suppose. Anyway, I always thought the MTD provided a great value for us, so I don't pay much on my tax bill at all. But that's not why I called. I do want to agree with the man about the property taxes. Mine went up $350, and when I figured that out, you know, that's 12%. That's a ginormous raise. When they put these things out, they tell you, oh, it's only going to be cents on $100 of valuation. They should come out and just be honest and say, look, on a $100,000 house, it's going to be this much. So we'd have a better idea. But secondly, one of the first boons that they come up with after doing this is that they're going to build a new sports field. I'm the type that believes in the ABC. Sports is not a necessary thing at school. That certainly shouldn't have been the first thing they spent their money on. It's just a really bad look.
You're talking about the new fields at Central?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the old ones.
Oh.
The old ones are fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all right. I had.
Hey.
I just,
well, thanks, Jim.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you. Bye.
We are back with more. Open line. We'll tell you about what you can do with the kids. Kids can do this summer, but first we'll take a break. Back with more after this.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet three times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynavite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Get caught up on the latest local news, sports, and weather on the DWS News Hour presented by ABC Heating and Air. Join us this afternoon at 4 here on News Talk 1400.
Back on Penny for your thoughts, News Talk 1400. If you've ever been in an accident, if you need collision repairs, if you backed into your neighbor's mailbox, or you backed into your own, or you're like me, you backed out of the garage one day and took off your mirror, I've done it. Anything like that. Get a free estimate from Gallo Miller Pain and Collision Repair. Dave Miller and Bill Gallo are very passionate about their business. They truly care. 18 years in the business, 23,000-plus vehicles they've repaired, including mine, after hitting the side of the garage. They know the collision repair business inside and out. They can help you with the insurance process. They know what a hassle this is. I mean, it's like that's the last thing you want to be doing. You're busy. You got a lot going on. I don't need to be messing with this. But they will take care of it for you. Free estimates are always offered. Give them the keys. Let them take care of the insurance and everything else, and they'll get you back to where you need to be with your vehicle. Conveniently and centrally located in Champaign-Urbana, they're on the south side of I-74. Between the Neal Street and Prospect exits, visit GalloMiller.com. Michael Kaiser is here. He's got news headlines. We'll have more open line conversation. A couple of emails have come in as well. And then we will visit with some folks who will tell you what the kids can do this summer over at Parkland. We'll tell you about that. But now the news.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Penny for Your Thoughts continues on this Monday. Had some showers this morning, 68 degrees. Got an email in on talk at WDWS.com. Says the caller singing the praises of former Mayor Prussing seems to think her battle with Carl was a good thing. I guess that's true, as it was a really good thing for the city of Champaign to welcome Carl's new buildings out there on Staley Road and Windsor. No, Curtis Road, I'm sorry. Curtis and Staley. With hundreds of good-paying jobs as they left Urbana. Ms. Prussing left the Urbana budget in a mess, and now Ms. Marlin has to clean it up. That is an email in on the line there. On the phone line, J.D., down in Mattoon. How are you, sir?
Fine, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. I want two things. I want to echo what a previous caller said. Great to have you on, Penny. Just whatever you do, don't give up football and basketball.
I'm not planning to.
Good. You do a great job in all three. So
thank you.
Glad you're there. I comment about the royal wedding Saturday. My wife and I had the good fortune to tour St. George Chapel in March, and it's such a reverent and special place. We were both surprised when the group sang one of my favorite songs of all time, Stand By Me. I frankly didn't think it was appropriate for that setting. And just wanted to, I don't know if anybody else felt that too, but we were just surprised that, and it's one of our favorite songs. It's just that setting and the reverence for that place, I just thought that didn't work.
Hmm. That's an interesting take. I hadn't thought about that. I know, and a lot of people thought was it the bishop or the guy from Chicago, who was, they say, really good. He may have gone too long, but... I don't know if I've heard his message was really good.
Well, I thought that was, but it seemed to be all about him and not about the wedding. Mm-hmm. And if he was given 3 minutes and he went 13 minutes, I mean, really? It's about the wedding. It's about the royals. It's a setting. It's a special place. And, And yeah, I agree with that. His message was fine for a Sunday morning in one of the local churches, but it just didn't work for that place. And and I don't care what color they were, black, green, purple, didn't matter to me. I was just looking at the what was going on. So anyway.
Well, it looked like a beautiful setting, and you say you've been through there.
We went through it in March, and it's just, it is a special, the castle is a special place, but St. George's Chapel is just truly amazing and a unique place. If you have a chance to go to London, take the train out, 30-minute ride out to Windsor Castle and see it. It's amazing.
Hmm. I'll have to remember that. Hey, thank you, J.D.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it. And we were at in New York. Big Ten tournament in New York, right? We were right across the street from St. Patrick's Cathedral, which was pretty impressive. I think did you take the complete tour, Ed? You did not. I know we walked in the door after dinner one night. So, all right, let's see. We're at 10:41. If you're having trouble with your wall cracks, basement cracks, make sure you give the folks at Woods Basement Systems a call or reach out to them. They're at 885-4333. Go online to woodsbasementsystems.com. Protect your home's investment. Get your free estimate from Woods and fix those basement and crawl space cracks once and for all. You don't want the mold getting in. You've turned on the air conditioner. It just gets messy. So make sure with the signs of the basement foundation problem, the cracks can be found inside on the drywall. Look for them there. Outside in the masonry, they can be in block or poured concrete. They all have two things in common. They get worse, and they steal the value from your house and your home. And over the years, Woods has acquired several awards, including the very prestigious Better Business Bureau Torch Awards. They're most proud of that. So woodsbasementsystems.com. Give them a call. Get a free estimate. Doesn't cost you anything. Get these free estimates when you can, 888-935-4333, woodsbasementsystems.com. We'll tell you what some activities for your kids coming up over at Parkland. We'll do that next, 10:42. Thanks to Sam Weldon for being on with us in the first hour. Thank you so far for all of the phone calls and emails and texts, a lot of different topics. Thank you for the kind words as well. We'll come back with some more for you on Penny for Your Thoughts on a Monday after this. All right, 10:46. Here at News Talk 1400 DWS, school is winding down. My daughter is about to graduate from high school. And I got another one who's got a year to go in college, but the one in high school is finishing up tomorrow. But they were in camps when they were little, and they did a lot of things when they were younger. And so if you're a parent or grandparent of young kids, we've got some information for you here from Parkland College. And first of all, we have Terry Thies with us here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How
good,
are you?
Good. Over there, we have Cindy Smith.
Hello.
Say hi, Cindy. And we have Christina Beatty.
Hi,
and
Brian.
And that's your husband we just heard on there, right?
Yes, that is.
Yeah. Are you comfortable in front of a microphone like he is or not?
Well, I'm a professor, so I'm known to be a talker.
Well, good to have you guys here. And let's talk about a couple of things. There's lots of camps all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of camps at Parkland.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you have a couple of camps in particular that you want to talk about today. Yeah. So we'll just let you guys
go
here.
Great.
So go ahead.
Well, we've got a great summer plan for kids in the community, so we hope as many will come out and join us as possible. I'm going to talk a little bit about the College for Kids program, and then I'll let Cindy and Christina talk about a new camp we have, the CSI camp. But for those who aren't familiar with College for Kids, it's an enrichment camp for kids ages 8 to 13. And it's, like I said, enrichment. So we focus on offering kids exceptional classes in the areas of science, technology, engineering, arts, math, and culinary. And so we have a wide range of classes that they can take from, and both in June and July.
Mm-hmm. And some of the June ones now, the early June, you need to get start registering, right?
Yeah, it would be great if people could register now, because some of those classes are filling up, but we still have some spaces and we can still get kids enrolled, and we would love to have them come out and join us.
All right. Cindy, I'll go to you now.
Okay.
Share some things that you want to mention here.
All right. Sorry. So we're starting a new camp this summer, the CSI camp. Mm-hmm. We're calling it the CSI Experience because it is an immersive experience. Students are going to come on our campus. We're going to have a crime happen, and they're going to have the opportunity to come in and do forensic work, actually collect the evidence, record the scene, learn a little bit about the psychology of profiling, as well as do some media work at the end of the camp, where they'll get the opportunity to go into our radio station and record an interview, and also into our television station and be able to record another interview in there on air. So they kind of get a chance to see lots of areas of the campus, and experience a lot of different careers under this one scenario. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that they'll really find that interesting and very hands-on. They'll be pushed to the limit because it is a very intense 2 weeks. It's actually 8 days, so it'll run June 18th through the 28th from 9 to 3. We'll provide lunch for them, but we're not letting them get away from us too far. But they'll be tired by the end of the day.
And you say this is new, so what prompted to do this? I mean, there's a lot of CSI shows on television. I'm
right.
Assuming that's part of this. But
part of it. We don't do a lot for this. So this is for ages 14. If they turn 14 in September, we'll accept them then. So 14 to 16-year-olds. And there's not a lot for them in those age range. So we wanted to give something new for them. We wanted to have them experience a lot of different things that they could do as a career, because we know they're trying to figure out what they want to do at that point, starting to think about careers, but they are not exposed to a lot. So we're trying to really expose them to a lot of different things in a very fun way that's very interactive for them.
And Christina, your thoughts on all of this? And
yeah, so I'll be helping with the forensic side of things because I teach forensics at Parkland. So we'll introduce them to the crime scene itself and what do you do when you get to the crime scene? How do you secure the scene? How do you record the scene with sketches, photography, and taking good notes? How do you preserve the evidence? How do you properly collect it? And then we'll take them back to the lab, and what do we do with the evidence now that we're in lab? So how do we analyze those fingerprints that we already dusted? How do we look at hairs and fibers and other trace evidence, and what can a microscope tell us, and what maybe are its limitations? And then also look at blood spatter analysis, maybe throw in some math when they're not looking even, and then also look at some DNA. So we're trying to cover some very big areas of forensics and give them a taste.
And it's an interesting, I mean, it's obviously a fascinating field, but also there's going to be life skills there that you're learning at the same time, right? I mean, to keep track of things and
a lot of critical thinking, and they have to think about big picture along with details and kind of the whole range of how to really think through a lot of these aspects of crime scenes.
Again, we're with three guests here from Parkland College. We're talking about some Parkland camps this year, the College for Kids and the CSI. Cindy Smith is here, Christina Beatty, whose husband Scott, of course, works here, and Terry Thies from the well-known legal family here in town. But Teresa, let's get the mic back to you. What else do should parents be thinking about here in regards to all of this?
Well, we've got a couple of really great new classes that parents might want to consider for their kids. For instance, we've got a new robotics class, and it's VexIQ Robotics, which is a phenomenal robotics course that will introduce kids to working with robotics and coding. And we pair that with our Lego Mindstorm course also. That's another robotics. So if they had a little bit of robotics experience, they might like Lego Mindstorm. But if they've done some more robotics, then they might want to try the VexIQ because that'll be a little bit more advanced for them. Also in the area of technology, parents might want to introduce to their children working with 3D printers. So we've got a 3D design class where they're going to work in groups and try to look at a world or a problem that they want to resolve by designing something that will solve that problem, and then work with 3D printers to print that out. We're also exposing kids to 3D printing through a 3D pen class, which is another unique way to introduce that to them. And all these classes help kids develop some critical skills also, but problem solving, it's using some math in different ways as well, and it's just keeping their minds going, which is really important during the summer. So that's why we want to offer enrichment for them, but they don't realize that they're actually doing a lot of learning in our classes because they're just so much fun.
Right.
It's all discovery-based, enrichment, and a lot of hands-on activities that they're doing.
Just interesting to me when I think camp from 30, 40 years ago, that's a lot different today. I mean, with
Absolutely.
All the robotics and the technology anymore, I mean, you know.
And that's the beauty of being out at Parkland, because they have all of our resources just at their fingertips. And we have some Parkland faculty teaching with us, and then we also just have some really top-notch area local teachers that come out. And some people from the U of I like to teach at our camps as well. So phenomenal instructors.
Well, let's get to the key points here. How can people sign up? How much does it cost?
Sure.
For information, where should they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website, www.parkland.edu/BTCE register. I know that's a lot for people, but if they also just Google College for Kids, it'll come up for them. It's $159 per class, so it's a two-hour class. We offer classes at 12:45 and 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So one class will go 12:45 to 2:45, then 3 to 5. I really encourage parents to sign up for two classes if they can, because then they get the full experience of that half-day program. Mm-hmm. So they can register very easily online and pay online as well, and they'll get an immediate confirmation of the mm-hmm. class. Okay. Our sessions for College for Kids run June 18th through the 28th and July 9th through the 19th. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's all on Parkland's campus. And for those parents out there or grandparents that are considering this, it makes a great gift. But I also want to mention that we try to make our programs accessible to all the children in the community. So we do have some scholarships available, and we also have a reduced rate for those children who may qualify for free and reduced lunch at their schools.
Okay, so that'll help out in that yeah. way. And any number of people should call or just
yes.
call Parkland?
353-2055.
We should probably say, too, that the CSI is a little bit different because it's a camp and not strictly College for Kids. So mm-hmm. it's actually $209 for the 2-week session. And like I said, it is 2 weeks, 8 days from 9 to 3 each day. But it is a little bit more expensive. But they register the same way going mm-hmm. through College for Kids or look for youth programs, and that's what they'll find out.
Okay, and the number is 353-2055.
Correct.
Did I get that right? Okay, mm-hmm. 217. All right. Hey, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We appreciate it. Yeah. Terry Theis with Christina Beatty and Cindy Smith. Get your kids enrolled. And the deadline, again, was for this early session.
June 4th.
June 4th. So that's coming up.
Sometimes we can take people even after the deadline, mm-hmm. but it's really great to do it before the deadline.
It makes it easier for everybody. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. All right. We'll come back with more. Wrap it up for today after this. Now, when we're facing a deadline for voting, we send in Ed Bond to sound the final alarm. So you know it's important. Ed's like the tripwire at the very end, or the finish line tape that you have to cross, I guess would be the more appropriate term. All right, 10:59. We are wrapping it up for today. Thanks to our guests from Parkland. I hope you'll take advantage of those opportunities. Those camps are really a lot of fun. Get your kids involved as much as you can. Thanks to Sam Walden for stopping by. We'll have a guest later in the week that fought on both sides of World War II. And how did he do that? Well, we'll tell you about that a little later. Marvin Lee's going to join us tomorrow for a little bit. Marvin Lee's band, of course, is where Alison Krauss got her start. And he's going to be with us. Alison, of course, appearing at the State Farm Center with Willie Nelson. But we're going to visit with Marvin Lee tomorrow for a little bit and talk about her early career, and we'll take your open line phone calls the first half hour. But busy show tomorrow, and then just an hour, and then it'll be on the money in the second hour. That's it for today. Thanks for listening on WDWS.